Hi, K-Watchers, it's Leanne.
Hi, everyone, it's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have Physical 100 Underground.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's season two, baby. The plaster torsos are back.
And so are the hammers.
We are excited to dive in. Let's get going. Oh, Juliet.
What a week.
We have husbands that are out of town together.
We have empty homes.
They are out on a boys' trip.
Their annual boys' trip.
For March Madness. There's golfing involved. There's gambling involved. My husband took an Uber from your house, which is 17 homes down from
right.
My house. It's a busy street. So every time I walk down the street, I run into somebody I know. He Ubered from your house.
Right.
And so he asked me for a ride to go 17 houses. I was like, no, you should do walk of shame. You should be carrying your luggage and your golf bag down the street so that people can drive by and honk. And you have to tell them where you're going. So yeah, we have empty houses.
Let me first say, I think this is quite unusual. The number of people who have said, oh, he's going to Vegas alone, like without you. I get a lot of incredulous gaping mouths, you know?
Is it Vegas or is it that he's going without you to anywhere?
I guess because a lot of people think of Vegas as being a bachelor party destination. And I don't think it's that common that
most people don't like Vegas.
Yeah, they don't like Vegas. And to leave your wife and children to go to Vegas seems like a very risky move. But here we are. We let our husbands do this every year.
Yeah. But I also love a girl's trip to Vegas.
Oh, yes. Which is why I think it's a mutual lucky relationship.
I think a lot of people our age, you either love Vegas or you hate Vegas.
Right.
And so for the people who are hearing us always talk about how much we love Vegas, they just can't fathom it because they have, I think, memories of bachelorette and bachelor parties of just debauchery in their 20s.
And people cheating on their spouses.
Yeah. So I think they find it very incredulous that any of us is still going to Vegas.
Right. That's true. But hey, if you don't know, you don't know.
I'm always like, guys, I know what you're thinking, but you can wake up, walk downstairs and have anything you want.
Yes. And actually the food is quite good. We haven't experienced all that much of the good food because we're usually having noodles to sober up. But the food in Vegas is good. You have access to so many things, so many types of foods, a great shopping, so many things to see.
Yeah. You never have to leave the building. You can get a spa treatment. You can go to the pool. You're getting Thomas Keller pastries in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
So I don't know. I'm slowly converting people in this neighborhood to Vegas.
Well, I was talking to one of your friends trying to tell her about it. She's like, but why not Palm Springs? I'm like, it's not the same. On the note of Thomas Keller, random, but one time I went to Vegas and went there and asked somebody at the bakery, hey, do you have this like certain walnut bread? Because I had it in Napa. And they said, oh no, we didn't make that here today. But can you come back tomorrow? And so I did. And they had baked it for the restaurant and gave me 3 loaves for free.
What?
Isn't that amazing?
That's so cool.
Yeah. So hat tip. Thomas Keller's Bakery will give you free loaves if you ask them to bake a certain loaf for
them. Last week, our hot tip was go to a Hampton Inn if you want free waffles. And this week, it's go to Bouchon in the Venetian and ask for what you want. And they'll give it to you for free.
That's right. This is the podcast of hot tips.
Free food tips, actually. Free breakfast tips.
Yeah, that's
tips.
Right. We are all about free food.
It's harder on us from just daily life stuff, but it is quite nice to have an empty house.
Well, I guess especially for you. I have an empty house quite often because my husband, he drives into the office a few days a week. But your husband works from home. And so you guys are together all the time.
All the time. And so now I've immediately just degenerated into like, I'm like a bachelor. There's just dishes everywhere. Coffee cups are everywhere.
Nobody to look over your shoulder or harp on you for how messy it is.
Right. Or like there's no guilt of like, okay, I should wash my own dish. I don't want it to pile up. No, I'm just, by the time he comes home, there's just going to be like flies in my sink. There are like little kid socks everywhere. I love my husband. He's amazing. I love to have him around, but it is quite nice sometimes to just do whatever I want in my house for a few days.
We all need that, just like alone time.
I mean, if you think about it, I've actually never lived alone. I've always had roommates. Yeah, you lived alone for a little bit.
I did.
I always had roommates in my apartments. So I've actually not ever lived alone.
Huh.
That's just occurring to me
right
now.
That is fascinating. No wonder you can talk all day.
Usually there's always, if I turn around, there's always been somebody there to listen.
Right. Yeah. So we have that. And then we had to catch up on two intense episodes of Physical 100. I felt like I've been waiting for this moment.
It was such an unexpected great first season.
It was.
For those who haven't watched Physical 100, you know, turn off this podcast.
Yeah, what are you? Yeah, what are you doing with your life?
Race over to Netflix. I was doing a little research. Physical 100 season one rose to be the most popular non-English show on Netflix
of all time.
At that point, I don't know if it's been surpassed, but yeah, it's
wow.
And you see it now. It was trending number two when I turned it on.
Yeah, last night I turned it on and it had dropped to number three because there are two other shows that don't look very interesting to me, but. What I think is really interesting about Physical 100 is when you think about physical shows in the United States, like we have Ninja Warrior and I mean, I'm thinking about like that Nickelodeon show. I keep thinking about that one. You know where they were like throwing like slime at people?
Double Dare.
Yeah. Like, you know, those are the kinds of shows that you have.
I think about American Gladiator.
Okay, yes, American Gladiator.
Where they had the like jousting. Like yes. That was such a formative show.
That was. And that was, I think, very creative at the time. This Physical 100, you really have to give credit to Korean people. I know we all,
you're,
you know,
always giving credit to Korean people. I really am.
But you look at these shows and they are so creative and unique. Who would have thunk to put 100 treadmills into a room and force people to run or hang from the ceiling?
Right. So we'll get into it. The challenges are very interesting. The concept is really interesting. The way they make you get invested in these people that you're only going to see for one episode, 50% are gone.
Yes. By episode that actually three. Breaks my heart. Like, oh, they're leaving so early.
I know. It's quite a roller coaster.
And what else is great about this show, at least for Koreans, is the caliber of people they're bringing in. Professional athletes, you have celebrities. And I think that is much harder to do in the United States, probably because contractually they'll be like, I want $1 million for one episode, you know?
Yeah. And or like your insurance would never cover you to come on these shows. I think the other great part about this show is that it's showing, you know, on a global scale, Asian bodies in a different way.
Oh, yes.
You see it every 4 years in the Olympics, maybe. There are serious Asian athletes.
Although I would say like most of the Asian athletes that we see in the Olympics are like, you know, archery. Badminton, archery, speed skaters, whose bodies you don't really get to see, but also are not as
ripped
as you see here. Yeah.
So I think there's a nice component of, you know, showing the other side of Asian bodies. For men and women, which is great. Let's get into episode one. The music started and I got chills. Chills. I was so excited.
You know, hearkening back to Marry My Husband, those episodes, they were an hour long. And it took me so long to get through them. These I finished so quickly. I mean, obviously time passes in the same way. But I was like, wait, what? It's already over?
Yeah.
I was so engaged in the show.
We'll start with the contestants. It's a great mix. I feel like they've upped the ante this time. It feels like a lot of the contestants are well known. Like they walked into the room and there was a buzz. And so we got a lot of national team athletes.
Yeah, the first wave was mostly national Olympic athletes.
Yeah, and it almost felt like the Olympics. Like they had their uniforms on, the Korean flags are on their arms. And so it felt very, I don't know, very patriotic. The contestants enter the large room, just like season one, with all of their plastered torsos on display and their names. Can you even imagine what your torso would look like in plaster?
I would have to like starve myself for a whole week before I would allow them to do that.
There was a guy who was 200 kilos, which is
about 425 pounds.
Right. And it, like his plaster torso
was very different from the other bodybuilders.
That's closer to what mine would look like. No. You know? It would look like a melting candle, a mounted that's mid avalanche, you know, like the skiers are running off, screaming off my torso. So there's no point in remembering names at this point because we can't start until the crowd is thin.
Well, and like you said earlier, so many of these people, even the ones that they featured early on, are going to drop out so quickly. I did a lot of research on some of the people that stood out.
So let's get into the contestants. The first person to enter is a woman, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yes.
She's a national team swimmer, has been to the Olympics.
Yes. And she totally has a swimmer swag.
Yes, exactly. She's very confident.
Yes. And I was looking at that and you swam. Mm-hmm. I swam in high school. What was your stroke?
I was a breaststroker when I was young, and then I went freestyle.
Oh, same. But I was looking at her shoulders and I was like, "That I was always afraid that that's what my shoulders look like."
I don't know if our body types could ever get that way.
I mean, you'd have to be, do you think, like bulking up on protein?
Right. I just looked at this crew and I was like, there's so much protein and possibly steroids happening.
For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, I instantly was attracted to this woman because I was like, she's, well, they brought her in fur. So that to me meant something.
Right.
But also because she's a swimmer and she's like so confident. I loved her.
Loved her. The second man who comes in is in a suit and tie. Rugby player Andre Jin.
Yes. And he's half Korean.
American father, Korean mother. He went to Berkeley.
That's right. I know. So you, I mean, he's much younger than you, so you probably wouldn't have known him.
Jesus. No need to remind me. We actually are known for our rugby team. Our rugby team was very old and prestigious.
His last name is like Cotillard. His Korean is very good.
Oh, okay. We got a rhythmic gymnast. She's wearing her sequin dress. She's very petite. I'm just like, a regular gymnast, maybe. A Simone Biles, I can see competing, but you're a rhythmic gymnast, so yes, she's ribbon dancing, right? Okay.
Had to fill in some seats.
I guess
although
so.
I did think people probably underestimate her.
Yes. We have a former soccer player. I cannot say his name.
Jong Tae-se. And actually, I looked him up, and it turns out he has a North Korean mother. Did you see this? And he identifies as North Korean.
He plays for the North Korean team.
Tae-se is a unique name.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't even pronounce it. We have a national arm wrestler. His right arm is so buff. So buff. I mean, we have a massive bodybuilder. They call him Thanos.
Thanos. He looked unreal.
He looks like Thanos from the MCU.
And then Andre was like, oh, on his bust, you know, you can mm-hmm. see the abs and they're like, these are like tofu blocks.
Tofu blocks. Bodybuilder. What are your thoughts on bodybuilders? I don't understand the appeal of that body, like that physique.
Yes. And especially because the next woman that comes out, she's a bodybuilder and she looks honestly like she's had too many steroids.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And too much tanning.
Too much tanning. She's starting to become like very masculine in her face.
They look like giant apple fritters.
I'm sorry. What?
You know an apple fritter?
Oh, yes, right, like at the donut shop.
Yeah. They're shiny. They're brown. They're like bulging in weird places. Yes. Yeah.
I think that when you're in it, you know, beauty is really in the eye of the beholder. So at some point you start to believe that that is beautiful and like then you just want to become bigger and frittier.
Yeah, and I'm not going to knock someone for being at the top of their sport, but yeah. It actually, you know, like, and I get it, like, you're sculpting your body into a sculpture, basically, and you're shaping your muscles into a specific design almost, yeah. And there is
it's a kind of an art,
yeah,
right?
Really, truly, but it doesn't look, like, comfortable, it doesn't look comfortable to be them.
You don't think it's comfortable to, like, have your shoulders all the way up to your ears?
Yeah, like, your armpits are chafing always, you have no mobility, you can't stretch, you can't turn around, it just doesn't look healthy what they're doing to their bodies, and so.
Well, I had an assistant back in the day who was a bodybuilder.
Oh, really?
Yeah, locally. And she, I think, did very well. And she was obsessed with working out. She was also obsessed with protein. And so she would always bring tuna for lunch.
Oh.
And then
in the office?
Microwave it.
Oh, no.
A number of times. And people had to tell her, you need to stop. But she just kept doing it. And I was like, but doesn't tuna even just taste better cold?
Who microwaves tuna?
Watching this made me think about her and then think about the tuna. And
that must be how obsessed she was if she's going to
microwave
tuna.
She did not even care about how other people viewed her. But yeah, she had a whole thing. She would take like a Friday off and like get the full tan and all of that, you know? And during her breaks, she would go and like walk aggressively for like miles to cut all the fat. Yeah. It's an obsession.
Another notable person for me was the track and field woman.
Yes.
I thought she looked like Soomin from Marry My Husband. I know you think you also look like Soomin, so maybe she looks like you as well. There was an arborist.
Arborist. That one really stood out to me. What? Also such a unique cast of occupations.
Yeah.
A lot of CrossFitters.
a lot of CrossFitters who actually, it seems like, are the biggest threat. A lot of people think that the CrossFitters, because they're the most well-rounded.
Right, because you run, you lift, you know, so you have all of the kind of metrics that you need. Whereas a bodybuilder, really, you're just bulking up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we have a carpenter. He comes in with his tool belt. He looks like he's dressed for Halloween.
He looks so young, too.
We have some CEOs, K-pop idol. The Singles Inferno girl comes in.
Oh, right.
She's wearing heels.
Kang So-young.
They wonder if she's on the wrong set.
Oh, my gosh.
You know you don't belong when you...
That guy Andre, he's a jokester. He's the one that's always making these jokes.
Yeah.
The Singles Inferno girl, I forgot to mention in a previous episode where you said, oh, but she's a Pilates girl. She can't compete against these weightlifters. And I was too distracted to tell you that Pilates is a lot of hard work. And I've been going to this reformer Pilates and sometimes men will show up. I think it's also because it's such different muscles that you're working. And these guys will show up and they will be shaking and dripping in sweat. It's really amazing to see. But yes, I don't believe that she is going to be able to go up against some of these like insane CrossFitters.
And I think we see it in episode 2, what they say a lot about these types of games is weight matters.
Yes.
Right? Like right. One guy's like, it doesn't matter what your gender is. Mm-hmm. It matters what your weight class is.
Yeah. There are a lot of guys on here who look like they probably moonlight as loan sharks.
Like gangsters?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's these two sumo-looking guys. They're the plaster that right. is like a melting candle.
Yeah, 220 kilos.
They look like they might be sumos, but they're not. They're just actors.
They're actors. But they play the villains on the show.
They play the gangsters. The guy goes, yeah, they always kill me off. Oh, my God. We have the cosplayer. Power Huyami?
What? I was so confused. But he has no social media presence.
So interesting.
And then an FBI diplomat.
Yes. He very well put together in his suit and glasses and his tie. He's from the U.S. And we have a kabaddi team player.
Do you know what kabaddi is?
No, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. So I looked up. It's an Indian sport. It's like a contact sport. And it's
like a handball kind of?
There's no ball. It's like almost like tag.
What?
Yeah. It's from India. And this guy says he's the BTS of India. That's how famous he is down there. Yeah, we got some like national judo legends, apparently. We have a long
drive golfer. American football player, but I looked him up. I don't think he plays in America. He must just do that on the weekends, like play with some friends.
He's on the X League. There's a heavy equipment CEO.
Yeah. Okay. So that guy, there was so much hoopla when he walked in.
Yeah.
Turns out he's on a bunch of variety shows. And there's one that's like a Wrestling Kings, and a lot of these guys are on there. So I started to recognize that many of these people are probably in the industry already.
They definitely all have their own YouTube channels.
Maybe not the cosplayer. Yeah, so many YouTubers.
And then we get to the last two. The second to last guy, they really build him up. Hong Bumsuk?
Hong Bumsuk.
He is the returning...
You call him Hong Bumsuk?
He is the returning firefighter from last season.
Do you remember him?
I do.
I remember that fight. You know, when he was in
the arena
with a really big guy, and he had no chance because big guy was so heavy.
He is back. It seems like he has legitimately just devoted the last year of his life to coming back on this show and winning it. He talks a lot about how he was humiliated and how he left so early. This guy has not stopped thinking about this show, and now he's back.
What is interesting is I didn't realize this until watching before the first match. They said, we're all gathered here to find the best body and physique. In Korean, the word physical, when you're like, oh, your physical is good, that means you have a great physique. Mm. So they're not, I was like, okay, so they're not actually looking for the strongest. They're looking for who has the best body. Although I feel like from last season, there were certain things about the challenges that were about intellect as well. And
barely.
You know, I mean,
this is my comment, is that I think that it's so unfairly stacked against the women.
Oh, right.
Like, I absolutely. Think it's great that they bring in so many women. Yes. I think it's like a 75-25 ratio. But there's no way, like if they do the same challenges as they did last year, they literally made them tow a fucking pirate ship. Right. There's no way a woman can win this. Right. And so actually there was one where there took a little bit of brains.
The sand where you had to move the sand and fill up your bags to get the sand up.
Yeah. And then they had to kind of maneuver.
But even
across.
That, I suppose you really, it was about strength too.
You had to be able to carry those bags and run across the bridge. So I think that hopefully this season, there'll be challenges that are a little bit more fair to the women and that are just more agility versus just brute strength, which I feel like last season was all about. So yeah, I think to your point, is it about strength that they're looking for or is it really best body?
Yeah.
And last year, in this first season, the last guy was a very, very famous MMA fighter.
That's right. His name is Chu Seong-hun.
Yeah, I called him Leatherface.
Oh, God.
He was so tan and leathery. Really tan.
But he really became famous because he was in the show called Return of Superman. Mm. It's a show where dads are left alone with their children for like 24 hours and give their, you know, the moms a break. And they filmed them, you know, watching the children, and they're all like celebrities. And this guy, Kim Dong-yeon, who is the last person to show up, he is also an MMA fighter and also on that Return to Superman show.
Oh.
I think he's retired now as an MMA fighter, but he like is in every, he's also in that Wrestling King show. He's in a ton of entertainment shows. And he had said in his intro here, he's like, just because I am in entertainment now doesn't mean I'm an entertainer. I'm a MMA fighter.
What? I called him MMA King because he walked in with such swagger. Everybody knew who he was. My husband also knew who he was and was like, no, this guy is legit. He also just has the most Korean face ever.
He really does.
It feels like if you were to have found statues of the original Koreans in like cave drawings, that's what they would have looked like. His nickname is Stun Gun.
Yeah.
I also read his other nickname is Cicada. It's such a weird nickname.
That is. I think that it's because he like attacks like a cicada.
I mean, or maybe he's known for living underground and emerging every 13 years. Have you ever been in the middle of a cicada, like brooding?
I have not.
Oh, yeah. So cicadas are these like 2 or 3 inch sized flying bugs. They're massive. They live underground for about 13 years. And then upon maturity, they like burrow up from the ground and then they emerge so they can mate. And so I've been in DC on a year where they all come out and it's like biblical apocalypse.
Oh my God. And they make a lot of noise.
And they make a lot of noise and they're flying. It's like your car's covered in their bodies because they're just like there to mate and then they die.
And then they die.
So their bodies are everywhere. And this year, it's like a once in every 200 years instance where two broods are coming out at the same time all over the Midwest.
So they all
Southwest.
Mature at the same time?
It's for the first time that these two specific broods are coming out at the same time. It's in the last 200 years. Wow. And it's not going to happen for another 200 years that they all come out at the same time. It's just the timing is kind of crazy this year.
So I wonder why they call him. I think I read that it was something with one of the moves that he does that it like mimics a cicada.
Oh. He's like the praying mantis from Kung Fu Panda. So those were the contestants of note so far. We get into the pre-quest. Last year, the pre-challenge was the hanging challenge. They had all 100 contestants hang from like a metal monkey bar structure above a water pit. This year, another simple but hard thing, and it's running. 100 treadmills lined up. These are manual treadmills.
Right, so there is no motor on it that's propelling you forward. I wonder if they had those specially made.
No, it's a thing that
they do.
Exists. Yeah, they are, they say it's actually better for you than a belted motorized treadmill for like if you're interval training or you're trying to run long distances. And it also like it makes you work harder because it need to work harder to get the thing moving.
I mean, it's even harder than running, I think, on concrete.
Yeah, that's what they say. Actually, the Peloton is a combo, manual and belted.
I see.
It's interesting to start with this. At least with a hanging challenge, it doesn't feel like there's like an automatic advantage. Like everybody can hang technically.
Right.
But this one, it's like certain people are at a disadvantage, right? You've got the bulky guys.
Yeah.
You know they can't run.
If you don't train by running, then you probably can't do it. It's like if I were to be like, go outside. You've never run before? Go outside and run 5 miles?
Yeah.
At top speed. A lot of people could not do that.
And then certain people are at a huge advantage.
Huge.
Professional runner, woman.
Yes.
Soccer player. Leg up, literally. MMA king, feeling very confident. CrossFitters. So it felt already a little bit lopsided. We get three rounds. We're basically just watching all of them run.
Oh, also, how did they take 30 minutes of running and make it interesting? I am just amazed.
So sweaty. They've got to run really fast to cover more distance, but not be too tired for the last round. It was a great challenge. It looked crazy to have 100 people running all synchronously. It was like the world's biggest workout class. They looked like hamsters on a wheel.
They did.
One of the big sumo actors was like, I think it might be because it's the first day. I really couldn't get my groove on. I'm like, no, it's because you weigh 400 pounds, bud.
But you know what? He came in 99. I
was
impressed.
He wasn't last. He wasn't last. I hate running. I despise running.
Do you? I was watching this and I was like, okay, I told my husband, I'm going to run a half marathon next year. I actually have loved running in my past life. Actually, I have a really funny story because I was on the track and field team.
Okay.
When I was in junior high. This isn't that funny. I was a hurdler.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That takes skill.
And then one time I was at practice and my foot got caught on the hurdle.
Of course.
And I ate it so bad across the track and my entire face was scratched up. This face has gone through a lot.
It sure has.
And then my mom made me just wear aloe vera, like real aloe vera plant, just plastered all over my face for the next like week at school.
I'm shocked that doesn't happen more often.
I know, me too. I did see somebody professionally do this one time, like in a national meet. Like I felt better about myself.
Right.
But anyway, I do enjoy running and watching them run like really inspired me. And I love watching like marathoners. When I was watching the New York Marathon and people are cheering them on, people are getting emotional. No?
Yeah, no, it does.
Like I'm crazy.
It does. Actually, I really love watching a speed walking competition.
Oh, I would totally do that too.
Those are fun.
Speed walking.
I ran a half marathon many years ago and everyone was like, oh, once you run a half, you're going to want to run a full. And I finished and I said, no, never. I would not. No more for me. So yeah, we see them all running like crazy. The MMA king is saying he's coughing up blood. I mean, that can't be good, bro. No. Should get that checked out.
Stop vaping.
Maybe.
You know what he said, though? He's like, no one ever died from running, which is like, that's an inspirational quote.
That's true.
The one person we didn't mention earlier is Amodi, who's that CrossFitter.
Yes.
And he looks like he's going to be in the top. He's so athletic.
We finish up episode one with the end of the running segment. Firefighter clearly has a chip on his shoulder. He has devoted his life to winning Physical 100 and he feels on top of the world for placing first. I mean, these guys are like sprinting at the end. It's like, run, Forrest,
yes.
Run.
And then they identify how many kilometers all of them ran. And I was like, oh, 5,472. And then I looked it up, it was 3.4 miles. Like, what?
I mean, there's only so much you can do in 3 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose when you're sprinting, then it's a real workout. But I was like, that was it?
Yeah. Measure everything in kilometers and make
it
feel
very impressive.
Yeah, exactly. We go to episode two. One of the problems I'm having is they're not writing out people's names and
in English
and professions in English. So I'm having a hard time tracking who and what people are. We see former firefighter from season one wins it all. We find out that the first challenge is the same challenge as last time, the one-on-one death match in one of three arenas. This is the only way they can do it because they need to cull half the group and whittle it down. So you've got to go one-on-one.
Yeah. And the objective is to get possession of the ball by the end of the time.
Yep. And based on your number ranking, you get to pick your opponent. And there's different strategies. Some people are very, I'm going to pick a weaker person so I can automatically win this. That was firefighter.
Which I lost respect.
Me too.
For him.
But that also just shows how insane he is about not being humiliated again and losing this.
Ugh, eye roll.
I know.
Whatever. I was like, if you're a real man, you would find somebody who will challenge you.
Right. And it felt like a lot of people did that,
right?
And they got a lot of respect for it. Returning firefighter, he feels really good about himself. But you picked on a K-pop idol. K-pop star, I mean, he is scrappy as shit in the fight.
That's right.
They go into the arena.
And the arena that they chose was a smart one. It was the exact same one as last time. And because you can run around.
Yeah.
He gave him a run for his money, but ultimately firefighter was stronger.
Yeah, but at the last second. So Idol should feel proud of himself. We see another fight between Sim Yoo Ri, MMA fighter. She is the atomic weight champion. they say. So she is a badass. I mean, she goes out and chooses a man.
See, I respect that. I loved that. And she chose a man who looked kind of weak. I mean, he looks like he goes to the gym, but not like somebody who has a lot of skill in this kind of scenario.
She picked number 50. You know,
is that right?
Yeah, the last man.
See? Yeah. That's smart.
Right. So he is the U.S. FBI agent. He's in Korea as a diplomat. He comes in kind of slowly.
Saunters in a little bit, yeah.
Right. The diplomat wants to see what the other strategy is first before he makes his move. She is so strong. He cannot ply her off that ball. So anyway, she's killed it. And it's so great to watch everyone just cheering her on and so much respect
for her.
It's
so gratifying. And I have so much respect for her, unlike Firefighter, who I really was not happy with.
I think, you know, this show ultimately is uplifting in a way. Like, they all really are cheering for each other. They're going after each other, but they are all, you know, cheering on people for their strengths. And it's great to watch. The big show is the MMA King. He picks Emmanuel, a fitness model who looks very strong.
Yes. But again, a bodybuilder.
Right. And he says he didn't even start bodybuilding till he moved to Korea.
Right.
And the funny thing is, Emmanuel doesn't know.
I know. Again.
Who MMA King is.
Yes. That's the disadvantage here.
So we don't see the fight in episode 2. Yeah. We're not sure what's going to happen, but exciting to set up episode 3 with the big fight. That was pretty much it, I think.
Yeah, that was it. That was really fun. I would love to see more women advance farther.
Same. But I did really have such a swell of pride when the MMA fighter
won. Oh my gosh,
won.
Yes. Well, do we want to do like a marry off kill or?
I was going to call it objectification corner.
So if you don't like to hear about us objectifying men or women, you can turn this podcast off now.
Right. My question was, who is the hottest guy?
Ooh, you go first.
I wrote down the rower. He had a headband on. He had a gold chain on, I think.
Oh my.
His name was Kim Ji-hyuk. Just like Hunky GM and Marry My Husband. He came in second in the running. They've kind of not really been highlighting him, and maybe he's boring, but no, I thought he was very handsome.
Hot is such a relative term. I'm not sure. You know, I can't see that anybody was like, oh my God, this guy's hot.
Okay, how about we do this? How about who is your favorite guy?
Okay, so far, I think Amodi is my favorite.
Oh, interesting.
Because he is not arrogant. He seems to work really hard, and he's so athletic.
Yep.
So I'm very attracted to that. But he's got like a baby face.
He does have a baby face. I, of course, love the obnoxious rugby player.
Andre Jin?
Yeah. I like a jokester.
Yes.
I like somebody who makes things light. How about the girl you're rooting for?
I really liked it when they featured the arborist, but we really haven't seen much of her. I'm just so intrigued about her occupation and about how she got into that. I want to know more of her life. We need to have her on the pod.
Yeah.
But
I also have a tree in the back.
Exactly. My tree in the front. I'm like, we need to call it arborist, but they're very expensive. So we have resisted.
I have a friend in the neighborhood whose maple tree is dying. So they brought in an arborist, and the arborist told them that their tree's dying because somebody in the past had cut it with a chainsaw and that the chainsaw oil had leaked onto the and that poisoned the tree. I was like, what are you talking about?
So then there's no hope left for that tree?
Yeah, so they had to cut the tree down.
What?
Yes.
Okay, that seems crazy.
But so I don't know. I can't tell. These arborists, are they just like chiropractors of botany? Exactly.
Well, my cousin owns this shop called Namu Home Goods. If you want to go on there and buy something, she has some fabulous pieces. But she had posted that in Korea, they have little ivy bags attached to the trees.
Okay.
To like feed them nutrition.
Oh, IV. Like intravenous.
Intravenous, like from the hospital.
Oh, that's very smart. Well, there's a whole book called The Hidden Life of Trees where they talk about how in the forest, and so maybe it's different in Korea because there's no forest left and everything's paved over, but trees survive in the forest because of a network of fungi that live under the forest floor.
Wow.
Yeah, that like right under the forest floor, there is just fungi that is like talking to each other. And what they'll do is one tree on one side of the forest is dying or needs water or needs some kind of nutrients, and another tree will send those nutrients through this fungal network to that tree and try to save it.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really
That is beautiful. Insane. Anyway, so the arborist is somebody that I was really intrigued by. But I mean, I guess I have to agree with the masses. The MMA fighter is so hot.
Yes.
She is so cool. I want to see more of her. So that was mine. What about you?
She definitely, like, I'm not going to turn lesbian, but
oh, dang.
I would for this lady. I'll grapple her.
You want her to jump right on top of you.
I'll grapple her in an arena.
You don't want her to move off of you.
I also really was in the beginning rooting for the track and field athlete. She's very composed and very strong, and I appreciate a national athlete. So, yeah, I was rooting for her. Mm. We'll see how far she goes.
Yeah, they didn't feature the woman very much.
Mm-mm. I'm looking forward to culling down this population so we can finally start making some nicknames and rooting for people. At this point, there's too many.
There's too many. I mean, remember previous season? Remember that guy Austin from Love After Divorce? He was on the panel.
Yeah.
He was a contestant on Physical 100. We never even saw him.
Really?
You know, and so there are just going to be so many people that I hope by the next two episodes we'll have really culled down the list.
Yeah. All right. That's it for us on the first two episodes of Physical 100 Season 2. We are going to be back next week with episodes 3 and 4. Hope you're enjoying the show and you stick around. We will be back next week. Can't wait to talk to you. And so until then,
bye.